Spirit of Elijah, part two. Now we're going to move from the Old Testament into the New Testament with references to the Spirit of Elijah. Excuse me. And if you will receive it, this is in Matthew 11, this is the Spirit. This is Elias, which was for to come. All right. So in Matthew 11:14. This is in reference to John the Baptist, in which I'm going to look at verse 7. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, who was part of Zechariah, he was head of visitation. His father did when he went in to officiate on Yom Kippur in the temple as high priest on the Day of Atonement for the sins of the nation. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, his wife Elizabeth, who had been barren, will conceive and bear a child. And this child will be a prophet to make ready the way of the Most High. This was Jesus' cousin, Yeshua. So John the Baptist was part of the Levitical lineage, and he was under, you know, the traditions in the council and the ordinances under the law of Moses. He was in trained and prepared, really, to be a priest. But he had to leave the temple and the temple rituals and temple practices. He was driven out into the wilderness. Why? Because the temple was so corrupt, and the temple was under the Roman law. It was under the laws of Rome. It was the state-run temple. It was not under the God of, it had gotten off, and God drove him out into the wilderness and began to speak to him. He knew the law. He knew the laws of Moses. And this is what Jesus said of him. This Jesus who brings division doesn't bring unity, doesn't bring ecumenicalism, unless all be one under the harlot Rome and the Anglican, the part, you know, as I said before, the codpiece of Henry VIII. As they depart, so who do you see? Who do you see? As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? Rhetorical questions. A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. Why did God say that? Because he was saying John the Baptist is the opposition. He has come out of that because he is the confrontation to the king. What did Elijah do? He confronted the kings, and he had to stay out in the wilderness. He had to be separated from the corruption of what was going on in those institutions, those systems, the system of the king, the system of the Romans. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. And what is this reference? This is a reference out of the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. This is before God. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant. That's what the law is. This is what the covenant is. In whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Why did the prophet need to say this? Because the offerings were not in righteousness. They were not acceptable offerings. Because why? Those who were offering them were full of dross and sin and iniquity. Back to Matthew 11. And assuredly I say to you, among those born of woman, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So what is the Lord saying here? He's saying that among men and those who were born of women, okay, in the temporal worldly sense, John the Baptist is great. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What the kingdom of heaven? Those who God has called. And this is a shift because the Messiah had come, one greater than John the Baptist, absolutely God in the flesh, Jesus. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. What kind of violence is this? Violence against the flesh. Violence against the powers of darkness that reign in satanic kingdoms. Kings and kingdoms known by their fruit, seen by the fruit of their ways and what they produce. Seeds of evil and corruption and iniquity. And those who align themselves with that produce that also in their temples. Because for all the prophets and all the laws and the law, all the prophets and the law prophesied unto who? Until John. So everything prophesied unto John. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all of Israel with all the statutes and judgments. And what did they prophesy? The law of Moses. The spirit of Elijah, he goes to John, goes to Herod and says, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Elijah said to the king, you have broken the laws and the commandments of the Lord God. You've gone off into harlotry. You've broken the commandments of your father David, and you're worshiping other gods. And if you are willing, Jesus said, to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. Who is this Matthew? Who is this Elias? What does Elias mean? It means God, my God is Jehovah. And this is from the Greek, Elias. Excuse me, in Hebrew, it's Elijah. Who was Elijah? The prophet born at Thisbe, the unflinching champion of the theocracy in the reigns of idolatrous kings, Ahab and Ahaz. He was taken up to heaven without dying, whence the Jews expected to return just before the advent of the Messiah, whom he would prepare the minds of the Israelites to receive. This Elijah. And of course, there was question and controversy. Who is this Elijah? On and on in Matthew. The scribes wondered about it. The religious leaders. And Jesus says in Matthew 17:11 again, and Jesus said and answered them and said unto him, Elijah truly shall come first and restore all things, to bring it back to its former state, to reconstitute, to bring it to health, or to organize it, to organize what's out of order with the kingdom of heaven, the godly. And then again in verse 12, this is Matthew 17:12. But I say unto you that Elijah has come and already, and they knew him not, but have done to him whatsoever they liked. Likewise also shall the Son of Man suffer of them. Who was he talking about? The scribes, those who were running the temple. The reason John could not be in the temple. The spirit of Elijah. And what happened? Why did the violent take it by force? Because John the Baptist was beheaded by who? By the queen Shalome, Herodias and Shalome danced. And who was, what spirit was Herodias in? She was Herod's brother's wife, and she divorced him and married Herod. And he lusted after her daughter who danced before the, you know the story. He danced before on his birthday, all his, quote, friends. And she asked for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And that was the end of John the Baptist's ministry. He was just, 6 months older than Jesus. And Jesus knew that this was the violence, that this sort of division would come. But what was John the Baptist was to prepare the way for the Messiah to take, because the voice, he said, I'm the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make ready the paths of the Lord, make them straight, bring them to repentance, bringing them back to the laws of God, setting the house in order, preparing it for the restoration of all things, which ultimately, when Yeshua returns, will be the restoration and the beginning of the kingdom, the instituting of it, when his laws come, and statutes and commandments that are written in the heart of human beings who are his temple. And the spirit of Elijah was caught up with the Lord, just like Enoch. And the other man in the Bible, Enoch, was a teacher of righteousness. And according to the book of Enoch, which is a very interesting read at these times, especially the first chapter, is he was a teacher of righteousness. And he taught, and in fact, the kings came to him, even the 10 kings of the kingdom at the time. They subjected themselves to him and his righteousness. Why? Because he confronted the watcher angels, and he put out the law, and he had great teaching and wisdom and counsel. He pleased God. He had a heart that pleased God, and he walked with God, and God took him. He taught in the days of Noah, and so as it is before the coming of the Son of Man, it shall be as in the days of Noah, when there were all kinds of wicked manifestations and breaking of God's law. And so shall it be, right, as in the days of Lot. And what was the issue with Lot, besides sexual perversion and the fallen angels and all of that, the mixing of mankind with the seeds that were not appropriate that are happening now? It's the same rewind, revisiting of the story. Is that the judges did not uphold the law. There was lawlessness. And who's the author of lawlessness? Do what thou wilt. That is the whole sum of the law. For there are those who in the spirit of Elisha is to uphold the law. And when consciences are seared, according to Romans 1, sexual perversion indicates a seared conscience. When you have it at the political level, that there is a seared conscience, then people no longer understand the moral laws that God gave them as human beings. And you must hold up the laws of God, the laws of Moses, because this is the taskmaster to bring people to righteousness so they can see their need for a savior. And therefore, the lawless one says, oh, nope, we can do what we want. We can go where we want. You can't tell us. We're not going to listen. We don't want to hear your laws. We don't want to hear that there are moral absolutes. Because we are what? Opposing what? The return of the Lord. We are in opposition. We don't want Jesus to come back. We know our time is short, and we're going to be shut up in the pit.